You know, it's good to have people with better memories than mine to remind me of things that I should have thought of 5 minutes ago. We have a card that's about to go around here for Nathan Judy. What I know about stem cells and bone marrow, you could put on a 3x5 card and still have half the space left over. But that's what he's going through now. It's a life-threatening thing. He's very much able to catch anything that comes through his hospital room. So it's been around in Sunday school, but I'm going to start it over here. When it gets to the back, just bring it over and bring it back to the front, and we'll be done. Nathan Judy, good matter for prayers. Which one of you want it first? You want it first? Okay. Well, the subject of the day is paradoxes. And what I'd like to do as we get into that, I'd like you to limber up your Bibles because we're going to look at several passages. The thing that started me thinking about this, oh, the first one, if you would, look to Isaiah chapter 53. You can be looking that up. The thing that first started me thinking about this, I don't know, it's probably been 20 years ago, and you hear it coming back if you hear me speak at any time, but the thing that finally put me over the hump on this particular lesson was a mailing that we got from Creation Moments. I don't know if you're on that mailing list or not, but it's the same people who put out the one that we look at each week. And they always have a good reference for different scriptures and scriptural lessons that we can apply to our lives. But this one had the idea of paradoxes. And the scripture that I want you to look up first is the one that I believe is the operable scripture. In fact, it's, if you know anything about the Jewish rabbis, you know that chapter 53 of Isaiah is called the forbidden chapter. Because in their economy of theology, they don't want to be reminded that Jesus was not only the ruling king yet to come and the Messiah, but he was also a suffering servant. So when it gets down to this, Isaiah 55, just turn two pages later. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And this is God speaking to his people, his chosen people, and to us as well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you want to, I have written in the bottom of the verse 9 there a reference to Deuteronomy 29:29. Which says there are some things that we know, God's revealed those to us, but there's a lot of things that we don't know, and those are reserved for him. The things that he tells us are not only reserved for us, but are our responsibility to obey those things that he's told us. But there's so much more in his wisdom than we will ever understand in this life. It's good to remember that we're the creatures, not the creators. Okay, so that's the operable verse for the day. God's ways are higher than ours, and that's really brings me back to the idea of paradoxes. You know what a paradox is, obviously, or some of you do. Maybe I'll better define it. In farmer terms, and that's what I do for a living is farm, in farmer terms, a paradox are two ideas which seem to be mutually exclusive, but they're not. Because of a third idea, either unknown or yet to be known, that brings those two things into focus. It's different than irony. And irony is an idea that either has inconsistency in its outworkings or it has unexpected consequences, unwanted consequences. For instance, it's ironic that the people who claim to want acceptance, diversity, inclusion, are some of the most divisive people in the country. That's ironic. The politics is full of them, and I'm not going down the political path, so you can thank me for that later. But Paradox, on the other hand, are two ideas which at one time in history people would have said are mutually exclusive. And yet, as we either have been shown through history or have yet to be shown in future history, they're complementary in a way that we can't judge. I'll give you an idea. I'll give you an example. First of all is the idea that this is God's world. You can go to, and you can quote basically Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet we're also told in other scriptures, in fact, if you would, just turn over to Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 31. And I'll show you what seems to be the opposite. John 12, 31. And I'll be turning with you. Jesus speaking, and he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Who's he talking about there? We all know that. Satan, right? "The ruler of this world will be cast out." So who's the ruler of the world? Satan. "During this age, Satan has a tremendous amount of influence. In fact, he's the ruler of this world. But he's going to be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So the paradox there is that it is God's world because he's the creator. But for the time in which we live, his influence, while it's great, is also mitigated in our minds because we are also under the influence of Satan and of our own selfish desires. It's God's world, it's Satan's world. Let's look at another one. In John, same book, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and you can probably quote this one just as well, but I turned away from it, so I'm going to have to turn back to it. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'll go ahead and read that. And this one is to show that Christ is God. Christ is God. It's a given for Christians to understand that. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man and comes down to the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." So that, and many others you could look up, show that Christ, Jesus Christ, is God. But what about the part about Jesus being man? You know, we're taught and we believe that Jesus is at the same time 100% God and 100% man. I'm not going to read all of the cross-references that talk about Jesus as man because there's too many of them, as they would say in biology class, TNTC. Do you know what that means? Too numerous to count, TNTC. Just in the book of Matthew alone, there are 32 different references about the Son of Man or God, or Jesus being the Son of Man. They're in all of the Gospels. All four Gospels have that in it. So is Jesus God? Or is Jesus man? Well, he's both. It's a paradox. It's the kind of thing that at least my size brain really can't get around and understand. But one day there will be that essence of truth when we face the Lord face to face. We will know these things, and we will know what that third element is that we can't see right now. You understand what this is? Paradox. These are paradoxes in the Bible, and there's a lot of them. Let me give you a story, and this is my favorite example of a paradox. I think maybe years ago I used this same story, but half of you weren't even here then. Some of you weren't even born. So here it is. It was a traveling salesman walking down the street, and he saw two kids that looked just alike playing in a yard. And he was just being polite. He says, I guess you two are twins. And he said, no, sir, we're not twins. Well, when were you born? Well, we were born on the same day. Well, who are your parents? Oh, we have the same parents. But you're not twins? No, no, sir, we're not twins at all. You look just alike. Your hair color is the same. Your eye color is the same. You got the same parents. We're born on the same day, and you live in the same house, and you're not twins? No, sir, we're not twins. Now, who knows the answer to this? The paradox of these kids not being twins. There's what? No, that's a good answer. That's not it. They seem to be mutually exclusive. The answer was when, yeah, Laura remembers. The answer is, they said, no, our brother is inside. We're triplets. So simple. So simple. And yet, looking at it from the first part into the two parts, you don't get it. It's the same way with these other things, these paradoxes that I'm talking about. Let's look at another one. And this one really, yeah, sometimes it separates churches. The one under creation moments, this one, God is sovereign of all things, and we are responsible and accountable. How can you be responsible and accountable if God decides everything? The only place in the human economy that people are held accountable for things they never did are in communist countries or dictatorships. But let's look at the scriptures, and you'll see that both are evident. Let's look at Psalm 115, verse 3. You'll turn there with me. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Simple as that. Now, what about the other side? What about the fact that we're responsible and accountable? If you would, turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, chapter 14. We could also go to Hebrews, but let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Simple as that. We're accountable because of the decisions we make. C.S. Lewis, you all know who C.S. Lewis was, right? He was the author of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Narnia, and all that kind of stuff. He put it this way. He said that, of course, people do make choices of their own. And his division, at least in his day, it was called Calvinism versus Arminianism. Those who stress God's sovereignty and those who stress man's free will. He said Calvinism is a belief in the sovereignty of God to such an extent that it makes man's decisions basically meaningless. Arminianism, on the other hand, is a stressing of man's choices that makes God's sovereignty almost meaningless. It's a paradox. Both are taught in Scripture. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, he didn't say all you except the other guys. He said all you who labor and are heavy laden. There's a paradox. And I don't believe that. I've heard people try to explain it. I've listened to both sides of that. And I believe it will only be in heaven that we'll be able to understand where that third piece of information is. Here's another one, resting in the Lord versus working until Christ comes. Look up Psalm 37, and we'll read a few verses out of that one. Psalm 37. By the way, just as a word of caution, if you're like me, you see, that's on one side, that's on the other side, I don't see in the middle, therefore it can't be true. That's not so. Both of them, the things that I'm reading to you of the different ideas here, the paradoxes in the Bible, they're true. It's just that our brains are not God's brains. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And we won't understand it until we will understand fully, just as we're fully known. Okay. Psalm 37, we'll start with verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And it goes on to talk about the end of evildoers and what happens to them and under God's judgment. So now let's go over to Colossians 3:23. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. All right, Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. The one that I like the best is verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. And that should rule out slack work, as well as being dishonest to the people you do business with. It should be done as if the Lord were looking over your shoulder as you do it, because guess what? He is, right? Okay. By the way, the reason things seem contradictory, I believe, is two parts. One is timing. Remember I told you that back in the Older Testament, the Pharisees believed that Jesus was going to be the conquering Messiah, not realizing that he was coming in his first advent as a suffering servant. Both were true, but it was a matter of timing, and they didn't understand first and second coming. And the other is incomplete knowledge. We just don't have complete knowledge. The essence of what we're supposed to do, though, is given in a couple of different places. One is in Proverbs, which said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. The biggest one, I think probably theologically speaking anyway, is the Trinity. I have heard people try to explain the Trinity. I have tried to understand the Trinity, and I know that it's true, but I don't think that there is an analogy which is complete enough to give us full understanding of what that's all about. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons of the Trinity, all made up into one Godhead. So that's another example of the paradoxes that are in the Bible. Every one of them is true. All of these and many, many more are true. But I've already reached my 20-minute limit, so I'm going to call it quits. But do you have any questions? I always like to end up, and if you have something that I just don't understand that, I'd be happy to try to answer it. Okay. If not, understand, and we'll close in prayer. We get ready for a potluck. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the fact that you've revealed to us some things and that you've kept the rest of the things for yourself. We pray that as we go through life, we will trust you, obey you, even in the things we don't completely understand, knowing that you're always true, always loving, and always do what's best for us. We pray that you'd go with us now, be with Dan as he heals, and help us to honor you with what we do for the rest of this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.